And we have a, God is doing some things among us. How many of you remember that song? Is that, some of you know the tune. We're going to be learning that song as well, trying to learn some new songs and sing some old songs. And we have some youth group meetings going on. And I have something to return to Tom for his sons here. These are Nerf bullets. But I had the wrong. Yeah, I found these in a few places. You know, when our boys are now have kids of their own, but we went back to visit a church where we'd served. We found some Nerf bullets behind a calendar in one of the back rooms of the church, and we know where those came from. So, but I got the time wrong. The time is wrong on somewhere. I'm not sure where, but it's at 6, not at 6:30. Okay, so. Six o'clock, if that applies to you or someone in your family. And folks, Jesus loves kids. Children, we want to fill up that wing this fall. Teenagers, we got some among us, and we are working with the Arabic Church and also the Jeremy McCombs' church in Chansford, asking God, what might he do among us? And asking him to build his church. You know, we don't build it. Did you know that? Jesus does it. And that's what this story is all about. So this morning we're going to start. You can turn to Acts chapter 1, where I'm going to read from briefly, but we're going to move ahead to a bunch of different passages over the next number of weeks. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12 next week, which is about the body of Christ. And we're going to look at us being the temple of God in Ephesians chapter 2. And then we'll look at us being the people of God. We'll look at being the vine and the branches. We'll talk about Matthew 16, 18, which talks about us being the kingdom of God. This is over the next couple of the months. And in the middle, you know, the sweet part is in the middle. So Lisa Hildebrand is going to speak. And then also Jeff Whitehead is going to speak, and he's bringing some friends because he's going to talk about the other CMA. You know, we're the Christian and Missionary Alliance. We're the Christian Motorcycle Association. They occasionally assemble, but they have a lot of fun, and this is what he was talking about. They rode to the countryside. He's going to bring some of his friends to talk about this other CMA that he is a part of, and that'll be in the middle of us looking at the church. And so we look forward to that as well. But let's look at Acts chapter 1. And I'm going to read. So in verse 6, the disciples were trying to figure out what was going on, which is what we want the certainty of knowing what is going on. And so they gathered around him. And they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Lord, what are you doing here? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his own authority. And they're going, man. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses, the witnesses to this kingdom in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Let's pray together. Our Lord, we are grateful to be witnesses to your kingdom. And Lord, we confess to you that, man, we just wish we could see the beginning now or the end now. We wish we could know all the details of it, Lord. It's frustrating for us not to know, and it hurts sometimes when there's battles that go on in the kingdom. Oh, Lord, would you make us receptive to our place in this great story that includes your church? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as Christians, a lot of us, you know, we long to get to know this book. And that's been one of the wonderful things that I've seen as we've walked through the story together. And It's part of the tradition in this area of some historical things that are going on, where people have a hunger for this book, and we're grateful for that. And I think if you're like me, you want to get to know this book, because it's through this book that you get to know Jesus. And for me, I've always wanted to preach through this entire book. And I think, in a sense, we could say we have gone through the whole book, the whole Bible. Not every chapter, not every verse. But we've done that through this year, and I think it's something that we'll be doing probably for all of eternity, but with the author of that book present among us, our Lord Jesus Christ. When I went to Bible school, one of the things that we did is we took Bible survey. And so, one fall, we did Old Testament survey. We went from Genesis to Malachi. Now, we didn't do every book and, every chapter, but we went from Genesis to Malachi. And, man, I learned some things that I, quite honestly, didn't even know about. And then another semester, we went from Matthew to Revelation, New Testament survey. And that was another wonderful journey. And then other times that we would study the gospel. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John might be another course. Or Paul's letters, the epistles we call them, was another course. And that's the kind of the thing that you do in Bible school and in seminary and often in church. I know Paul McCleary has gone through the Bible how many times? 3, 4, 5 times? Countless times in the classes that you've taught and some of you know. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to do, to be able to go through the Bible time and time again. And what we're doing is we are rehearsing God's story, the one true story of the world. And that story affects everything for us as the people of God. It affects our lives as individuals. It affects our life as a church and as the church and as God's people throughout the world and throughout the ages of history. And he begins with God's story and how we see the world. So if I were to take off these glasses, believe me, I don't see things nearly as clearly as I do with these. I'm pretty sure that you're out there, but it's pretty doubtful at points, So I put these on and it clarifies things for me. And that's the way that it is with God's story. And see, what we're looking at, this is not just any series. This is really, really important. And this is something that God's people around the world really have been talking about for the last number of years. One of our daughters-in-law looked at a Bible story book that I think we had handed to them or suggested to them, and she said, well, this is not the narrative. These are the stories of the Bible and applications. And what she was looking at, this was a gal that was trained at a Christian college over the last, 15 or 20 years. She was looking for something that had the storyline, because theologians and leaders in the church have said this is very, very important for us in terms of how we understand the world and our place as God's people. So I need some volunteers again. Okay, I need someone to come and hold the creation sign over here. Okay, come on up, Aileen. Okay, come on over, Tucker. Okay, we're going to have you. Okay, so you can hold this one. It goes down like that. Okay, I need Tucker, come on over and hold this one here. Has nothing to do with you, I'm sure. Okay, but this is the way other people act. The rest of us act this way. Okay, but you need to put it like a cross, like an X. Okay, this
like
is...
There
you go. Okay, excellent. All right. And then, Colton. So Israel, that goes that way. And we need someone to come and hold the nice sign, which is the Jesus sign. Okay, come on over. Okay, Harley. And of course, this is reflects your sweetheart and nature and everything. Okay. Hopefully for all of us, all right? That Jesus is being formed in us. Okay, and then someone to come and hold the church sign. Do we have a volunteer? Okay, come on over. Terry? Okay, along with these young people. Okay.
All right.
No, I don't know. Okay. And then we need someone to come and hold this one. Okay, come on up. Okay. Now. And you have the same thing on some, there's some bookmarks. And again, this is not just a series, folks. This is a very, very important thing in terms of our church life and our walk with the Lord that I'm hoping is going to stick with us, okay? And it's applied to the church. Okay, so let's just say this is the story, how we tell the story, okay? It begins with what?
Creation
and then?
Rebellion.
Okay, hold the signs up. Hold the signs up so everybody can see, okay? And then?
Israel.
Jesus, and what happened with Jesus? He rose, yeah, he rose from the dead, and he formed the church, and then, no, hold it down. So what's happening? We're going to be restored. Okay, now, I want us to walk through and think what happens with other stories. Okay, let's say that we were not created by a personal God. What difference does that make?
Not created. No.
Okay, maybe we're not created. Maybe we just form, okay? Maybe we're just here, okay? And that would mean if we're not created by a personal God or by some nebulous form, some nebulous somebody in the cosmos, in the universe, then that takes away who we are, our identity, okay? It takes away our personhood. It takes away a father who loves us, right? And that created us to be in his image, okay? So let's put that one back up. But let's say we take away our rebellion, okay? If we take that away, then that means that that we're good, right? We're getting better and better and better. And there are a lot of folks in our world that think that we're getting better and better and better. Or we have no explanation for the evil in the world. Okay, so let's put that one back up. Let's say that there's no Israel. What would that mean? Okay, there's no country of Israel, but there's more than that. The Lord chose one nation to display his glory to the world. And all of these things that we remember from Abraham all the way through Jesus, there's no Jesus, is there? The Israelites aren't here, but also these lessons that we learn in terms of how to display the glory of God to the nations is not there because we're grafted into the people of God. Okay? But let's say,
that died for our sins so we wouldn't be able to sin anymore. And you're, we could go to heaven. So basically, we'd be all going down the bear.
Exactly. So we have no hope, do we? That's right. Good job. Yeah, these guys are thinkers up here. Okay. What if there's no church? What if there's no church? Then what happens there? Okay. What happened? What's that?
Nobody hears the word.
Nobody hears the word of God.
Yeah.
That's right. There's nobody to... nobody to display it, all right? Let's say that Israel is the answer. And you hear that even among Christians, that Israel is the answer, that everything's going to be established through the nation of Israel. That gives no hope to the rest of us, does it? Because the Bible says, now Christians, you know, we dicker about how this all fits together, but we are grafted in to this kingdom that began because Israel didn't do its job, but now we're part of it, and we believe that one day there'll be a great turning to Jesus in Israel. But in the meantime, we are called to get the good word out to the nations. And so we are the people of God, and that's what we're talking about this summer. Now let's talk about one last thing here. What if there's no restoration? Then what's the point? Exactly. Now, here's a little minor point that sometimes as Christians we get messed up on, okay? Sometimes as Christians, you know, we believe that Jesus is coming back, and one of the viewpoints is that everything will be totally destroyed. Okay, and so as Christians, we say, well, why should I invest in anything? Why should I care about this world Even though, remember, at the beginning of time, we were told to manage this planet. Okay, this has implications for how we see ecology and all kinds of things. Okay, and so we say, well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we do with our work, with our management, with our gardening, with our all of these things. But if we believe that it's being restored in some fashion, and that's one way to look at the words in terms of its the world being changed at the end, then that gives us hope. That's right. Like, why bother otherwise? And it also affects how we behave. And so, in other words, there are some that believe that it could be that we that what's here now might be restored in some fashion. And so what we do now might in some fashion, that's where I talk about, okay, I think about, okay, I'd love to preach through the entire Bible, but I don't have enough years on my calendar. Well, maybe I could continue preaching after the kingdom is restored and just, you know, have centuries to preach through. Maybe I could do every verse in the Bible. And maybe I'd be a really good preacher then and you'd even listen to it, you know? You got to be really good to hold people's attention that long. Okay? But the same with you and your work, whatever it is, that God might be able to further what you're doing now, but without the curse of sin. Okay, so you guys can be seated. Thank you so very much. Oh, one other thing.
I think you need a vacuum
cleaner. Yeah, we're going to need a little vacuum cleaning, aren't we? Okay, so let's... Okay, he is risen. What difference does it make that Jesus is risen? All the difference in the world. It means that we're not alone in this story. And that's good news. Okay, you guys can be seated. Thank you so very much.
Will you meet these ever again?
We will probably use these again sometime, but yeah, you can just leave them there. That's fine. That's fine. You see, our story, how we see the world, affects everything. Let me explain a little bit more what it means. Okay, so it affects what symbols we use. So the symbols that we use, almost every church in the world on the spire or somewhere has a cross just like that. Last week we celebrated the Lord's table. And so the symbols, the pictures, okay, of the bread and the wine or the juice are pictures of what we believe. And we reject when we're living for Jesus' best, the other symbols of our world. So here's a symbol in our world today. I'm important because I have one of these and the latest and greatest in my pocket, right? Or, you know, we were driving by the car wash yesterday. And be careful if you're a regular car washer. But we got to thinking, why do people spend so much time and so much money on their cars? Could it be that car is everything about, it symbolizes their life? Or same thing with our houses, or our bank accounts, our credit cards. The Olympics is coming up, and you know what they're going to be talking about? You know what they're going to be talking about. It's all about this little card. And it's like, really? But I mean, that's what we believe that stuff. And that's contrary to the central symbol of our faith, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, this story, then it not only gives us in terms of how we see the world, what our primary symbols and pictures are, but it also affects then our behavior, how we live. And so the goal of our life as believers in Jesus is not to get the greatest phone or car or house or gardener, whatever it may be. The goal of our life is to follow Jesus, because Jesus is our King. And so we bow before Him. We follow Him. We mimic Him. We are His apprentices. And then we welcome His presence into our lives. That's part of the behavior that we have now. And we build community among us so that in this community, that we give a preview of what is to come. But when we're living by other stories, what do? We shop until we drop, or we work until we sometimes literally drop. And all of these things are good things within the greater story. I mean, they can be good things. It's not that we don't do those things. It's just that that's not what we live for. We live for getting in shape, and so we kill ourselves for getting better grades, or for having the perfect family, or whatever the world around, the other stories are telling us to do. But instead, we live for Jesus, and we mimic Him, and we build community among ourselves to give a preview of the kingdom of God. So here, let me tell you how this works out. Here's, let's say, the American story. Last weekend, what was shot in the skies? Fireworks. Okay? How many of you know what those fireworks mean? Okay, how many think you would know what those fireworks meant if you lived on the other side of the world? Yeah, may or may not. But you know what they mean. Why? What? It's 4th of July, and you know the story of the 4th of July, don't you? You know that we broke away from the British because we were independent, and we threw the tea into the harbor, and we won, and we became independent in our own country, and we signed a Declaration of Independence over in Philadelphia, and then we celebrate, we do certain things on the 4th of July because of that. So we have hot dogs or hamburgers, and we have corn on the cob if it came in right, that, you know, and watermelon and all of those things, and we march in parades like I did in Towson. What?
We honor the soldiers that have died.
We honor our soldiers. Yeah, we put flowers by the, yeah, and we do all of that stuff. Why? Because we know the American story, which is a story that we straddle as believers who happen to live in this country. But we know about that, and so there's a story, there's symbols, it affects the way that we live. But it also brings about some questions that we ask. This story does, in particular ways. So many would call this, it's how we talk to ourselves. Many would call this a worldview, the kind of questions we ask in terms of our worldview. So one of those questions that we ask, again, based on the story that we're listening to and that we're playing out in our minds, is, well, who are we anyway? And based on the one true story of the world, we would believe that it was grace that was promised at the beginning. And it was grace that came in Jesus. And now it's grace that's being fleshed out in our lives through the Spirit of God, so that we then become the new people of God, otherwise known as the church, and we build a community that breaks down the walls between people, between rich and poor and black and white and old and young, and we break down those barriers because of what Christ has done in us, helping us to submit to one another out of love for Christ, because we, by God's grace and by His Spirit, are becoming like Jesus. That's who we are. We are not, first of all, people that are working hard to become perfect, more and more perfect. We are not, first of all, Americans, we are first of all the people of God. We are part of a kingdom that will never, ever end. And that's who we are. Another question that we might ask, you notice, listeners, Clubber, that these all begin with a particular letter. And that would be, where are we? So in other words, what's this world like that we are in? And we would believe, as members of this kingdom, that this kingdom is already, but not yet. And so we have this dual citizenship going on, where we have one foot in the U.S. of A., and so we wave the flags, and we eat the hot dogs and march in the parades on 4th of July. But we know that's just for a while. We got another foot in a forever kingdom that will last forever and ever. And so these worlds are overlapping. And rather than trying to grab control of this temporary kingdom that we're in, although we seek to give witness to it, and especially if we're called to say we're called to politics, then we live out the kingdom values within our temporary kingdom. But rather than grabbing control, maybe it could also be fleshed at home, or at work, or at school, as if that's the kingdom, we trust the Lord. We seek to give witness. Instead of working to achieve things, first of all, or to get greater facts or greater technology or more money for things, we know that we're in this place that's an already but not yet place, and so we expect there to be problems in our world. And we ask God for the grace to live out, to follow Him in that world. Because the next question that we ask is, what is wrong? What's the fundamental problem that there is in this world? And we grieve, along with the creation, because there's sin in this world. And because there's sin in this world, everything is flipped upside down. Everything is twisted. Everything is broken. And it's because of that sin. It's not because we don't have enough education or enough technology or enough money or because everybody's not doing things our way. It's because of sin, and that's the way that it is. And it's a rotten place. It's a sinful place. And we seek to give witness to a greater kingdom, but we don't expect everything to be perfect. So how do we fix it? What's the remedy? Is it more education, or more money, or more technology, or my political party, or if everybody just listened to me and the way things ought to be done? We would say that the remedy is none of those things. The remedy is Jesus and His redemption. And so what we do is we live now like we will in the future when we're with Him. And we give witness to Him like the announcers of a new world to come. Maybe you've been watching, you've seen on the tube a bit some of the Olympic trials. You've seen some of them, some of the swimmers that are swimming away, and they're trying to make the team, or the runners, or the javelin throwers, or all kinds of things that are going on for the Olympics, basketball, they're trying out for the team, and they're giving a preview of what is to come. And we're hearing little things from Tokyo, not as much, I think, as we normally would. Normally, we'd be seeing mascots, and we'd see people running through the streets with torches, but those are all previews of what is to come. Now, think about it. You and I, and we, as the body of Christ, we are the ones giving the preview of what is to come. When they put that stuff on the tube, it's all on the network that's wanting us to watch them for 2 weeks. They're trying to suck us in. And that's what the Lord does through you and me and through the people of God. He wants to build in us His character so that people so see Jesus in us that they're saying, I want to be part of that. I want to be part of that kingdom. I want to be part of, I can't wait to get to the real deal. And I want to be part of it now so that I can be part of giving a preview of what is to come. It's not all this other stuff that's part of the other stories. It's resisting the temptation to live for the almighty dollar, or to live for achievement, or to live for our political party, or whatever it may be. Yes, there's frustrations. We're in the already not yet kingdom. But we live first of all for the King, and we seek to give a preview of the world that is to come. Because the next question that we ask is, what time is it? Where are we in this already but not yet kingdom? Well, we believe that we're getting toward the end of the story, but the Lord said it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. It's an already thing that's going on. We're seeing pictures of God's kingdom among us, things that we shared about this morning. But we're the advance team. We're giving this preview of what is to come. And so, yes, there's confusion out there in this, because there's a battle that's going on, that's been going on for thousands and thousands of years. Yes, there's hopelessness out there. And yet, we don't give in to that hopelessness, because we have Jesus that's with us, and we sang in some of those wonderful songs this morning. And we don't give in to despair. We don't give in to this maintenance mindset that's in our culture and another culture around us, say, oh, I might as well just give up and just kind of moan and groan until finally I get to be with Jesus. No. Christ is being formed in us. Christ is doing new things in us as the people of God, and us as individuals, and in our homes, and in our workplaces, and we give witness to that kingdom. And it affects other areas of our lives. Think about how this story gives us comfort. Consider this. Look at all of this. Okay? So began with the creation, and it goes a long, long ways until we finally get to Jesus. But God was faithful during those years. And where is it that we get our comfort in the scriptures? Where's Psalm 23? It's in those years, right? Okay? How about all of those, the predictions about the Lord coming and shining His light and being with us as we walk through the waters and when the fire won't touch us? That's from the book of Isaiah. It's when God's people were in exile. It's out of all those nasty years that God's people weren't faithful, but God was. And it's out of those years that we get comfort and hope in the Lord. And it's the same thing with us. I don't know about with you, but when I look back on my life, the times when I have felt closest to Jesus are the hardest times. Now, I kind of go back and forth. Do I want to go back to some of those times or not? I have not enjoyed those times. But there's been the end of one or two of those times I thought, you know, I almost wish this would continue. Because it's during those times that our Lord is faithful to His promises, and our Lord is with us, and our Lord draws us closer to Himself. And it's because of this story that we're comforted. And it's through this wonderful story of the world that we are comforted. But it's also that He gives us help, that He helps us in our frustrations. And again, think back to the frustrations of God's people. Moses going to Pharaoh, that was a happy day, okay? Joshua coming up to Jericho. Or David facing Goliath. Or Jesus in the temptations. It's in those times that the Lord was real. And by remembering this story, we know that God is with us. So let's think of, let's think of a couple of just everyday things. Let's say that your car wouldn't start today. Or let's say that your son or daughter, or would never happen, but a parent gave you frustration. Can you imagine? If we think of it in terms of our stories, the competing stories of the world, well, why doesn't this car start? Well, because I got the oil changed and I took care of it, or oops, I forgot to get the oil changed and I didn't take care of it, and we're frustrated because nobody's doing what I need, and this stupid car, I thought I paid all that money for it, and it's not working. If we step back to the story, we remember that we're in a broken world. It is this way. It's supposed to be this way. Or let's say it's worse. Let's say it's this child or this parent that we got, and man, I poured my life into them, and I thought if I did all this stuff that I have the perfect kid, or I have the, after all these years, I have the perfect parent of all these years of training. Or spouse, yeah, someone said her spouse. I don't know if I'd ever. Yeah, they've been working on us for a long time, Jeff. Yeah. But instead of looking at it's all about me and my hard work or this idealistic world, it's like, no, this is not a perfect place. It's an already about now kingdom. But just like God came alongside Joseph and Abraham, and God's people in the wilderness, and all of God's people, God will come alongside me and you and us, and he will help us as we move through the story that God has called us to. Another area has to do with outreach, what we might call often apologetics. And so Christian thinkers are saying that one of the ways to approach this, that this story helps us now where people aren't thinking as logically as they used to, is to compare stories of the world. And so you say, okay, here's what I believe. I believe that we were created. Okay, you don't have to fuss about how many days. We can talk about that later if you want. But you know, I mean, the main thing is that we are created. And we fell, and then Jesus came, and then things are going to get better someday. Well, how's that compare to your story of the world? Well, we just appeared. Okay. What kind of meaning does that give to your life? Okay, and how did all of this bad stuff get here? Okay, and then where are we headed? Oh, we're just going to be nothing. Okay, let's compare stories. Which one gives you hope? Even if I'm wrong, which one would you rather live by? You see, some have even said that when Pilate asked what is truth, that an answer to that maybe, could be, might be the one true story of the world, that is truth. Wrap your mind around that one, philosophy, thinker type people. But think about it, if this story is truth itself. You see, this can make all of the difference in talking, especially with a new generation of people and sharing Christ with the nations, many of which are story-based. And that's why our witness is not just with our words. It is with our words, but it's with our lives, and it's how we mimic the Lord Jesus. It's how we live out through our vocations, whatever that might be, how we display Jesus through who we are and what we do in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our work, and in our church. And it's something that we do together, but also as he calls us out to serve him. Let me talk about one last area. And that has to do with why we live and how we live. Tim Keller, that wonderful pastor in New York City, whom I highly recommend listening to. Great Christian thinker. Spent a lifetime explaining the gospel to New York City people with all kinds of backgrounds. Talks about how this story changes everything. I've listened to a little audio, a 10-minute thing, many, many times over the last number of months. So he says, everybody loves a story. So you have, the prince and the princess and the damsels in distress, and the prince comes and he fights off the dragon, and then they live happily ever after. And so you go to a child and you say, are you a prince or not? Oh, I'm a prince. Okay. Are you the dragon? No. Are you the princess and aren't you going to be nice to your knight in shining armor, your brother over here? Oh, I'll be nice to my brother and I'll love him forever. Well, he said that in the church, one way to go at our behavior is to come at them, people, with the Ten Commandments and a list of do's and don'ts and say, you got to get in line, you're in the army now, and you got to just obey all the rules. Another way to go about it is to say, don't you want to be part of this great story of the world? Don't you have a Savior that loves you and invites you to welcome Him into your life and to live His life in and through you as you reign with Him, giving a preview, and you will reign with Him forever and ever? You see? And the Lord has made us part of this together. When I read a book, you know, sometimes there's some of the books that are in sections. So part one, two, three, four, five, whatever it is. And I like getting, you know, to the next to the last section, and I feel like I'm making progress and like, oh, good, I'm finally getting toward the end. I'm going to find out what happens with that prince and that princess or whatever I'm reading about. Do you realize we are part of God's writing, the next to last chapter? We are part of this, and it's something that He has called us to be and to do together. Let's be the people of God. Let's follow the King and do what He's called us to do, be what He's called us to be together. Let's pray. Our Lord, we love You. We're so grateful to be part of Your kingdom. Lord, may we be Your church. And may the world see You, Lord, in and through us. Shine, Jesus, shine. In Your name, amen. Would you please stand?
Our closing song today is what Cindy played on the piano, Build Your Kingdom Here. And I chose to use an audio version of it. It's a fun song, okay, but it has a great message to it in that we are praying to God to build His kingdom here and to continue to build His kingdom. So I want to have a little fun with it, but just think about what you're singing. I encourage you to clap along. It's an upbeat, energetic song, so let's go with it.
Center and reign in our hearts again. Jesus, as we pray, unveil while we're made. Come and set our hearts aflame like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. Church, we need Your power in us. We seek Your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives for For you're our joy and prize. To see the captive hearts release, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray, revive this earth. Kingdom here, let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and lands. Set your church on fire, win this nation back. Change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray. Unleash your kingdom's power, reaching the near and far. No force of hell can stop your beauty changing hearts. Made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church. We are the hope on earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire, win this nation back. Change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray. Your kingdom here, let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire, win this nation back. Change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray.
So from halfway through the book of Ephesians, where the majesty of Christ is displayed, and then the implications for the body of Christ are given. At that juncture, Paul writes, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen."